We all are here as trainees. I'm speaking the obvious for a reason. And what does it mean to be here, either at the live training or in a proper video training? What does it mean to be here as a trainee? You may say, correctly, as a trainee, I voluntarily comply with directions and regulations. I come to my seat on time. I participate in the review of the messages. When my group or my seat is called to a test, I will come forward. This, of course, is correct, but it's outward. To be a trainee intrinsically means that you are willing and ready to be touched by the Lord's Spirit in your natural life, in your being. The Lord conducted, we may say, the first full-time training. It seems that it was 7 terms, 3.5 years. And all of his trainees, except one who betrayed him, were deeply and profoundly touched in their natural being. If you can listen to 12 messages and to have not one point touch you, you have been a trainee, but not intrinsically. I mentioned this at the start of message 5 with its focus on resurrection, on Christ's continuing and everlasting existence in resurrection, and then on the church as an organic entity constituted with the resurrection life of Christ. This message, as indicated by the outline, will be intensely focused. But before the Lord, in my consideration and musing in oneness with Him, I have the realization that the application of this focused word may be quite extensive. We are in and we are the body of Christ as a reality. And the unique head of the body, the Lord Spirit moving in the body, knows about and cares for the situation, the condition, the need of every member in particular. Every member is precious to Him. And among the few thousand assembled here, only the Lord knows the range of need. There are really new ones, haven't been saved that long. Ones new to the church life. Trainees, graduates from the training. Young working saints, middle-aged saints. Elderly saints. It is my conviction before the Lord's face that He would like to apply something of this word on resurrection to every one of us. And I would like now to give you a list of 17 areas in which the Lord's Spirit might operate. I'm not exaggerating when I say that this message in its totality would require at least 50 messages to fully release. But as I mentioned, these areas of possible application, and the application is not made by the speaker, but by the Lord's Spirit, maybe the Lord will begin to touch some of us. I can't develop these. This is simply an opener. The Lord may apply this word on resurrection to help us to know Christ Himself as the resurrected one. Paul links knowing Christ with knowing the power of His resurrection. Philippians 3:10. If we do not know resurrection, we do not know Christ. And then second, the Lord's Spirit might apply this word so that we may know the church as an organic entity in the resurrection life of Christ. I assure you, brothers and sisters, if you do not know resurrection experientially, you do not know the church intrinsically. Then third, under the Spirit's application of this word, some of us may become willing to experience the cross as described in Song of Songs chapter 2. We may be lifted out of our introspection, our self-examination, and be willing to go at last to the cleft of the rock and to abide in the crucified Christ. Some of us should spend much of 2012 in the cleft of the rock. Four, the Lord's Spirit may cause some of us, like Paul, to aspire to know the power of Christ's resurrection. This was a yearning in him to know this experientially. But maybe for some, and this is a training, so we speak directly, they may have little interest, little aspiration. The Lord's Spirit knows. So He may produce in you a desire to know in your experience the power of Christ's resurrection. The Lord's Spirit might cause some of us to advance in the divine romance by applying this word to us. We can all say, we should say, we should continually say, Lord Jesus, my beloved, I love you. But for vast numbers of us, our love remains juvenile, undeveloped, stranded in Song of Songs, chapter 1. The love is not matured to be the love of the bride. The Lord's Spirit knows this. So by the application of resurrection life, He would enable us, motivate us to advance deeply into the divine romance. Until we become Shulamite. I believe that the Lord's Spirit and His burden for the body of Christ would constrain some, maybe co-workers, maybe the wives of co-workers, to participate in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Only the Lord's Spirit knows. Who are they? Where are they? Who know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings? Why is He suffering? Those who are willing to make up what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for His body, the church. Do we co-workers know this? The Lord's Spirit knows. If none of us participate in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, the building up of the body of Christ through the ministry of life will be delayed. The Lord's Spirit may apply this word to our natural ability and our natural strength, leading us into dealings with the natural constitution, so that all of our God-created and developed abilities will no longer be natural, but will be in resurrection, so that they can be used by the Spirit and honored by the body. Then the next point, by resurrection, the Lord's Spirit will cause us to serve in the church and in the ministry and in the work according to the eternal principle of death and resurrection. The Lord's Spirit may want to touch you in your service. You're so active. You're so efficient. You're so capable. You're so natural. But He wants to bring you into resurrection. The next one is 9. The Lord's Spirit may apply this word that you're about to hear to give us the longing to experience the out-resurrection, by which I mean the gradual resurrection of our entire inner being. It is so sad to see brothers and sisters well into their 70s, heading in a direction that their end will display the full flowering of their disposition. A brother was controlling 30 years ago. He's more controlling now. A brother was emotional in a natural way 40 years ago. Much more now. How different if the older saints would bear this testimony: as my days are declining, my strength and energy are weakening, my inner being is thriving in resurrection. Amen. The Lord's Spirit may apply the word concerning resurrection to some of us, so that by the God of resurrection, the God of all comfort, we may comfort those in affliction with the comforting with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. As we're gathered here in the south of the Philippines, saints are suffering terribly by the floods in Cagayan de Oro and Iligan. Children of the saints have perished. Saints are missing. Saints have lost everything. Who can comfort them? Weep with them. Embrace them. Minister resurrection life to them. Only those who know the God of resurrection comforting them in all of their afflictions. The Lord's Spirit may apply this word to us so that our prayer will be in resurrection, typified by the incense with the principal ingredient of frankincense. The Lord's Spirit knows that in many a prayer meeting, there's a struggle caused by many praying in a natural way from their natural being, thereby inhibiting the release of resurrection power. Please note this when we come to the last section of the outline, through the prayer of the church. The Lord might want to touch some of us concerning your way of praying. Maybe the Lord's Spirit will work in some of us in the near future so that we can be a living testimony of the resurrected Christ. Not a preacher, not a teacher merely of the doctrine of resurrection, but a testimony. One who gives a direct experiential account of the reality of the resurrected Christ. How good if we could travel throughout India testifying that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Amen. That the devil and death have been destroyed. To some brothers, especially, the Lord's Spirit might apply this word to cause them to have the budding rod in their God-appointed ministry, making them a genuine representative of the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. May the Lord eradicate from the recovery any abusive use of authority, any authoritarianism. May I not go into 2012 getting more emails, more phone calls from the best of saints and their suffering under this kind of situation. Instead, may there be a budding rod with almonds, with flowers. Maybe so. Perhaps the Lord's Spirit will move in some through this word on resurrection to train them to detect the attack of death upon the church, to make them aware of it, to train them to defeat it. These ones will realize the ultimate war is between Hades, the gates of Hades, death, and the church built up in Christ's resurrection life. We need to reign in life over death in the meetings, over death in our families, over the attack of death on our being. Then the Lord may apply this word on resurrection to us to defeat Satan. Satan's power ends at death. The body is in resurrection. We are not afraid of him. He is afraid of us. Then I looked to the Lord as one serving you, that for the future of the Lord's recovery, the Lord's Spirit will operate in many brothers to produce ministry in resurrection. The Lord has touched their natural ability. They don't trust their gift. They become beings in resurrection. And they can continue the New Testament ministry in resurrection. If in the next generation we only have gifted brothers, eloquent brothers, able brothers, we're finished. The Lord's Spirit may touch some of you, and you'll pray. This is the object of this message in the training for you. You may be 25 years old only, but you give yourself to the Lord, not out of ambition, but out of aspiration. And then finally, insofar as I have a list, what do I know of the full scope of this? May the Lord's Spirit bring us into the experiences of resurrection so that we may live in the reality of the body of Christ. This is another realm, brothers and sisters. I was considering, from the time Brother Lee asked me to move to Detroit from Chicago, where we had the infamous truck fire on the way, and then 2 years and 8 months of death experiences under the Lord's sovereign arrangement, I would say in the last 40 years, I've been mainly learning one lesson, and that is to be in resurrection for the body of Christ. Now we can turn to the outline now, trusting restfully in the Lord's Spirit. I just love to use this expression with you, because it reminds us the Lord is dear, the Lord is near, the Lord is present, the Lord is active. May the Lord's Spirit have an unhindered way in us all to apply the reality of the resurrection of Christ to our being in any particular way that He chooses. Would you agree with this? Now the outline per se. Christ's eternal and unchanging existence in His resurrection. Psalm 102 unveils Christ's death and His eternal and unchanging existence in His resurrection. In typology, this psalm first refers to Christ's sufferings, especially to His death. Christ's suffering was for redemption, and His redemption was to produce the church as the house of God and the city of God. But what is important here is one very precious verse. Verse 7. I watch, and I am like a lone sparrow on a housetop. And the subpoints, two, and the subpoints say, Verse 7 is a particular verse concerning Christ's suffering, which was related to his zeal for God's house. In his human living, to whom could the Lord Jesus talk to? Who would understand him? His brothers? Who didn't believe in him according to their behavior in John 7? His mother pondered things in her heart. Maybe she had some realization. To whom could he open himself to share his mission, the desire of his heart, the zeal burning in him for God's house? So he's likened to a sparrow. Often sparrows are in groups. You see a line of them on a telephone line. You're on the top of a street lamp. This one is alone on the flat top roof of a house. Christ is likened to a lone sparrow on a housetop, referring to the flat roof of a Jewish house where people would often go to pray. This indicates that when the Lord Jesus was on earth, probably there were times when in the night, he, like a lone bird on a housetop, would watch and pray, caring not for his own interest, but for the interest of God and of God's house. What do you think he prayed about? Think he prayed about his health? Think he prayed about success in the carpentry business? Did he lament the fact that he would remain single his whole life? Do you think he complained about the fact that he was physically unattractive, was not included in so many social activities? To ask the question is to answer them. He didn't care about himself. He cared for God's interests. The desire of God's heart. He would allow nothing and no one to distract him from the deep need for private communion with the Father. In Matthew 14, he'd be able to send the crowd away. He wasn't excited about the success of his ministry. He could stop, send everyone away, and go up to the mountain privately to pray. The Christ who lives in you is like this. And we know from Luke 12, he began to pray. And he continued all night, according to the literal Greek, in the prayer of God. He didn't say, think I'll pray all night, see if I can do it. He began to pray and he couldn't stop. It was the prayer of God. And then he called the 12. I don't want to overemphasize this next point, but I do like to make it. With him, at times, there was a very deep loneliness. Only the Father could be his companion. Only the Father would understand. And our dear brother Nee, in a certain place, speaks of the loneliness of a deputy authority, say Moses. To whom could he communicate fully? To Zipporah? To the Ethiopian woman he took as a wife? To Aaron? To Miriam? Don't get all in your emotion. Don't let a tear trickle down your cheek. But sometimes some of us, especially in the ministry, need to know Christ in His loneliness, to be one with Him, and to realize ultimately what is in the depths of our being is known only to Him. And you may reach the point, some of you will, where among the closest circle in your human life, there'll only be disappointment. You'll know the Lord as a root out of dry ground, the one whose being was anchored in God. Now we come to the major emphasis of the message and of the outline. Psalm 102, 23 through 28 unveils Christ as the one who is everlasting in His resurrection. And here let me say two things, rather briefly. What do we mean by resurrection? It means something of the natural life has been put to death. And that death seems to be a total termination of everything. But that which is of God emerges in newness of life. And when with this emergence in newness of life, resurrection, that resurrected person or matter or thing is beyond death. It's beyond all limitation. It is transcendent. Resurrection is a life that enters into death, passes through death, and emerges from death in resurrection life. Do you realize yet, my brothers and sisters, that this is God's goal for you? It's His goal. You can't stop Him. Eventually, you'll cease trying to stop Him. Then you will really sing 639. Oh, may I know this resurrection life. It is no exaggeration to say that resurrection is the focus of the Bible from Genesis 1:9 to Revelation 22. We see the types in Genesis, the dry land emerging from the death water on the third day, 8 human beings in an ark that passes through the death water, Joseph's bones being brought out of Egypt, buried in the good land, the water and resurrection out of the cleft rock, the budding rod, the 12 stones taken out of the riverbed of Jordan and heaped up on the land, types of resurrection. Then the prophecies. Psalm 2, verse 7, this day I have begotten you. Verse 16, chapter 16, 22, 118. We see it in Song of Songs. where the beloved eventually brings his lover to be absolutely one with him in resurrection, to have the climax of the divine romance. Then throughout the New Testament, the Lord spoke of his being raised on the third day. He said, no sign will be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah. In resurrection, he said, all the power and authority has been given to me. In John, he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again. We see the principle of life to change death into life for the building of God. The Lord even tried to reveal to some opinionated ones that he himself is resurrection. They were more concerned about what he would do than about what he was. They had yet to see, as many of us need to see, everything the Lord does is based on what he is. And one day, through the growth of Christ within us, we will care more for what the Lord is than for what he does. Then in Acts, Matthias was chosen to join the 11 as witnesses of the Lord's resurrection. This was the heart of Peter's first gospel message. Chapter 4 says, great grace was upon them all in the church, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power. We see this all the way through Acts. In Romans, the gospel concerns the Son, the seed of David, designated Son of God in power in resurrection. Then in Romans 8, the one who raised Jesus from the dead is imparting resurrection life to our being. 1 Corinthians 15, resurrection is the life pulse of God's economy. Read the note on verse 12. 2 Corinthians, ministry in resurrection. Ephesians, the great power that raised Christ from the dead is being transmitted into the church. In Philippians, the power of his resurrection. All the way through until we come to the New Jerusalem. The measure of which is the measure of man, that is of an angel, indicating resurrection. It's resurrection city. The whole city is resurrection. And now we need to see, based on verses in Psalm 102, that our Christ is the one who is everlasting in his resurrection. A verse in Romans 6 says, Christ died to sin once, death lords it over him no longer. Please do not frustrate the Lord's Spirit's operation in your mind, heart, and spirit by supposing that you know the resurrected Christ adequately. He is ever existing. Paul quotes Psalm 102 in Hebrews chapter 1. And before that, he refers to Christ as the firstborn. And now we see as the firstborn, the first one produced in resurrection, he is ever existing. He is beyond all limitation. He transcends time and space. He does not come and go. He is always here. When he was in the flesh, if he was in Nazareth, someone in Jerusalem could not contact him. Someone in Rome could not contact him. But now the resurrected Christ is omnipresent. He is beyond all limitation. Death cannot hold him. The ultimate and greatest limitation on every living thing is death. I remember confronting this when I was a little boy to find my pet hamster, Pepsi, dead in his cage. I will not retell the details. It was just horrifying. What is this? Then in common with you all, again and again and again and again, the wave of death comes, sparing nothing, sparing no one. But there is one who nullified death. He nullified it. 2 Timothy 1:10. He destroyed the devil on the cross. He said in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I became dead. And behold, I am living forever and ever. I have the keys of death and Hades. He is now the Lord's Spirit in resurrection. He is here with us. He is Emmanuel with us. He is with the saints in Cagayan de Oro and in Iligan, comforting them. He will exist eternally as the resurrected God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the reality of His resurrection is the Spirit. When we are really in the Spirit and are one Spirit with Him, we touch resurrection with its freedom from all manner of limitation and restriction. That is why those who know Christ in His resurrection eventually discover we conquer everything. The body of Christ is invincible. Amen. It is unconquerable. Amen. The enemy's weapon is death. And death will attack. And death will seem to prevail. Apparently death will wipe this out. But wait for the third day. Last summer I was in Norway for a conference. Days before I arrived in Oslo was that horrible slaughter of young persons. And the whole country was in the grips of that. But by the power of the Lord's resurrection, we could stand up together and declare in Norway, it is the third day. Amen. Resurrection prevails. Brother Nee says somewhere, and although actually I'm not worthy even to agree with him, as if there's something in me that says, yeah, that's right, as if I knew that. But I have to agree with him in the Spirit. He said, we have only touched the hem of the garment of resurrection. I just wonder what would happen if 100 of us sincerely under the anointing and under the leading of the Spirit would have a time to pray and say, Lord, I must touch the hem of the garment of resurrection. I must touch you. I've heard so much about this. I have read about this. We had lessons in the full-time training about this. Lord, I want to touch even the hem of the garment of the resurrected Christ. Amen. So that that power, that energy that is in you would flow into me and I will be able to testify, this is real. Amen. Verses 25 through 27, quoted in Hebrews 1, 10 through 12, speak of Christ's continuing existence in His resurrection. Christ's existence is unchanging throughout all generations because of his resurrection. Acts 2:24, Peter quotes this. He said, God raised him from the dead, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He didn't have to struggle to get free from its grip. Read John 20. The grave clothes are there. The face napkin is wrapped and set in a certain place. And our beloved Lord emerged in resurrection, transcendent over death, space, time, and every limitation. And in his resurrection, he will exist eternally. So Hebrews 13:8 is fitting here. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. This verse applies to the resurrected Christ, not mainly to immutability in the Godhead. 3, the resurrected Christ is no longer bound by any limitations. When he resurrected, nothing could hold him back. Such a Christ is in our spirit. Nothing can hold him back. If he could fully pray in our prayers would be transcendent beyond anything we have ever known. We are praying in the ever-existing Christ in resurrection, limited by nothing. Resurrection means that the Lord Jesus has broken through all barriers, even the greatest barrier of all, death. Death has been nullified. And the resurrected Christ lives forever and ever. In his resurrection, Christ has transcended everything, including space and time. As the resurrected one, he is omnipresent, and space and time cannot limit him. Because of his eternal and unchanging existence in his resurrection, Christ is the key that turns the earth to the Lord. So he himself is the key. But some among us need to know him in this way. We need to learn to experience him, to be constituted with him, to live him, to be one with him, to do everything in him. And we will touch the power that will eventually turn the entire earth to the Lord. I fully believe, especially after this recent trip in India, that the time is drawing near when, through the church, as a being in resurrection, Christ will turn every nation to the true and living God. Amen. Point 2. The product of Christ's death and resurrection is the church, typified by Zion, with God's house and God's city. I'd like to read verses 13 through 16 and 21 of Psalm 102. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her. The appointed time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. And the nations will fear the name of Jehovah, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For Jehovah has built up Zion. He has appeared in his glory, that the name of Jehovah may be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. The product of Christ's death and resurrection is the church, typified by Zion with God's house and God's city. In Psalm 102, Zion, the center of the city of Jerusalem, typifies the church as the center of God's kingdom. The stones typify the believers as the building materials of the church. And the dust, the soil, typifies the ground of the church. We should take pleasure in all the members of the church. Now, methinks that when the trainees in their first term come to live in a house with 9 or 10 or 11 other trainees, they didn't exactly take pleasure in everybody. Especially those that are used to their own bedroom, the sisters, with a zoo of stuffed animals on their bed. Now you're together with all of these stones from different cultures, different races, different dispositions. And you just can't say, I take pleasure in all the stones. That shows your lack of Christ. That's all you can see is the natural, evident features of this fellow believer. But when you experience the resurrected Christ, you will see something more than that. And you will treasure all the members of the church. Those who have more discernment than you are not hung up the way you are. They realize that one, that's peculiar. Yes, that's the natural life. Okay, there's something of the self, but that's not all there is. The resurrected Christ is in her and in him. And so I treasure that stone. And we should favor the ground of the church, which is the ground of oneness. To favor the ground of the church is not merely to be legal like this. All right, we are the church in this city. You don't live in this city, yet you want to meet here. Well, either move here or start a church where you are. That is not to regard the ground of the church, the oneness of the Spirit, the oneness of the body, the Spirit of reality. See, in Psalm 102:16, the rebuilding of Zion typifies the rebuilding of the church. It is through the established, restored Zion, signifying the church, that all the nations and kingdoms will be brought into the praise and worship of Jehovah. Everything depends on building. Not only a church, but the church as Zion. The rebuilding of the devastated church, typified by the rebuilding of Zion, will turn all the nations to the Lord, and the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of God and of His Christ. Now we come to a lengthy section, and one crucial point is central here. And let me read Roman numeral 3 first and then try to summarize the point. It is in Christ's resurrection, by Christ's resurrection, and through Christ's resurrection that the church continues its existence. As someone who is not young, but who is not cynical, I'd like to point out another obvious thing about human life. Nothing lasts. Nothing. Nothing of the old creation lasts. No experience lasts. No situation lasts. No relationship lasts. Nothing. Those of you that are in your 20s, and those of us who are 50s or 60s, let me ask you, do you know what a Studebaker is? You ever heard of something called a Studebaker? What about an Edsel? Or a Hudson? Or a Packard? I don't mean the computer company. In the 50s, some of us drove around in these things. But they're long gone. Nations don't last. Where's the Roman Empire? Where's the British Empire? Human organizations. The only thing on earth that is lasting is the church. We are in the only thing that is eternal. Now, not everything about us is lasting, but the essence of the church is everlasting in Christ's resurrection, by Christ's resurrection, and through Christ's resurrection. So let me ask you, will you do a work that lasts? When the final exam comes, an objective final, fire tests everything, right? It's not a subjective test, how you feel about what you've produced. The fire will try. And only a certain kind of work will last and go into the New Jerusalem. I think it's okay to share part of a dialogue between a mysterious couple, Ron and Susan. Okay, one of our dialogues over Chinese food at 369. Okay? Just a little excerpt. And you might understand this, but if not, the time will come. And we were not morose. We were not sad. We were just fellowshipping. And we realized, here we are. We're not young. And we've been married a very long time. And our marriage is in the old creation. That's its nature. So when either one or both of us goes to the Lord, it's over. It's over. That's the end. But, during the course of this mysterious, interesting, I don't know what other modifiers I dare use. During the course of all of this, something else has been going on. Because we are both members of Christ. Members of the body of Christ. And something eternal has been going on in the midst of something temporal. I hope you young brothers, in your aspiration to serve the Lord, will aspire to serve Him in a way that will have eternal results. That you serve Him in the everlastingness of Christ's resurrection. A, Christ's resurrection enables the church to continue its existence. So, the existence of the churches in the Lord's recovery, I believe you will not misunderstand, did not depend on our dear brother Lee living until the end of the age. It doesn't depend on any person. No matter how precious, the continuing existence of the church depends on Christ's resurrection. Sisters, you need security deeply. You need security. Security is found in the resurrection life. They cannot be shaken by anything. The church, the body of Christ, is absolutely in resurrection. He absolutely. I don't believe anyone can stand up and testify, I am absolutely in the resurrection life of Christ. But that's the nature of the church as the body of Christ. Therefore, this is the direction in which the Lord's Spirit in all of us is moving. It'll be a great rest to your being when you stop fighting this. When you overcome your fear of abandoning yourself to the Lord. But don't do this as an act of heroism. Do this in response to the Lord's resurrection life. And you tell Him, I long to know the power of your resurrection. I long to attain the out-resurrection from among the dead. Lord, give me the experiences that I need to know this resurrection life. Oh, may I know this resurrection life. Amen. For at least some of the 17 reasons I tried to give you in the beginning. Eventually, all 17 plus whatever else is there in the Lord's consideration will be worked out absolutely. This is our destiny. Amen. Resurrection is our destiny. Amen. Everything of the old creation must be terminated. The highest, the best, the most refined, terminated to release the resurrection life that will bring us into an ever-existing church life. Amen. My only regret is that I didn't hear this much earlier in my life when I was in my early 20s. But instead of studying theology in a city in New Jersey, you get to be in the full-time training. And even though it's a doctrine to you, you get to hear the true words. Stephen Harris, you're resurrection bound. And your wife is bound with you. The golden lampstand typifying the church as the body of Christ portrays Christ as the resurrection life, growing, branching, budding, and blossoming to shine the light. The church is a new creation in Christ's resurrection and was created by the resurrected Christ. We are the body of Christ only in the new creation, germinated by Christ's resurrection life. So I feel to present this question, and the answers may differ, sincere answers, okay? Not expected answers. Don't be a man pleaser to give an expected answer that's not a sincere answer. Answers to this will differ according to age and experience. But which do you treasure more? The old creation or the new creation? The whole world treasures the old creation. So affluent young professionals, they get Botox injections. Oh, there's a sign of a wrinkle. I got to get an injection here. Plastic surgery is booming. It's booming in Korea. I saw an article. Oh, I've got to get my eyelids this and that. And I've got to get my chins lifted and my tummy tucked and all kinds of things. Just an obsession with the old creation. Even so many saints are still in this undercurrent. Christ, the church, and then health, organic this, this kind of diet, that kind of diet, this thing, that thing. We should take care of our old creation body in a practical way so we can exist for God's eternal purpose to build up the body of Christ as a new creation. But may the Lord deliver us from obsession with our old creation, trying to beautify it, trying to make it gorgeous. Some of you brothers, the sisters are never going to say of you, he's gorgeous. That's just the way it is. The Lord needs to have a group of people, and do they all have to be 70 plus? Can't somebody like younger in their 30s have the vision to say, I treasure the new creation. I will take care of my human life in the old creation, but not as a thing in itself. I don't expect it to last. I'm not looking for immortality. My goal is resurrection. Oh, a new creation. In the resurrected Christ, we are the body of Christ only in the new creation, germinated by Christ's resurrection life. The reality of resurrection is Christ as a life-giving spirit. If we do any work that is not in resurrection, the life-giving spirit will not honor it. Right now, I won't name the continent. But right now, continuing an operation that started a few years ago, the life-giving spirit is making it clear to seeking saints what kind of work the spirit honors in the sphere of the Lord's recovery. What kind of work? And may so many saints throughout the earth, especially in South America, recognize the work that is done in resurrection. I'm so thankful the Lord has sent some co-workers there to labor with the co-workers already there to do a genuine work in resurrection. Amen. And to have our work honored by the life-giving Spirit, and have the body be able to say, Amen. The Spirit honors only what is in resurrection. When you come to the test, tonight and for the other times, you're human, I know the feeling. You want to give a perfect test? You want to get a thumbs up from everybody? Or would you like to utter something in resurrection? Would you like to learn to speak in resurrection, to serve in resurrection? I just would encourage you to take this way under Brother Lee's ministry. At the first opportunity the Lord gave me, but that was in 1967. Under his ministry, in responding to his perfecting, supplying ministry, I chose this way. Not the way of gift. Not the way of eloquence. Not the way of human ability. Everything must be in resurrection. What do opinion polls matter? What does the opinion of the majority matter? The opinion of the majority is not the sense of the body. The sense of the body is something of the life-giving Spirit in resurrection. Oh, the young brother sitting in front of me, and all those whom you represent, and the wives that you will have, may your course be set toward resurrection. And may the Lord use your wives as the best helper. And this is something I know a little bit about. Use her as the best helper to help you enter into resurrection.
Amen.
May the Lord touch you. You have no motive to be something in the recovery, to be appreciated, to be respected. It is better to be among those who are reviled, who are the object of so many negative speaking online. It's so good to care for nothing but for the endorsement of the life-giving Spirit. In order to be in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to be absolutely in the resurrection life of Christ. When we do not live by our natural life, but live by the divine life within us, we are in resurrection. The issue of this is the body of Christ. Okay, live, not live by our natural life. Live by the divine life within us. This is to be in resurrection. Our natural strength. Chris, how strong are you when you were at your best? What could you bench press? How fast could you do the 40? Steve, probably world-class athlete. Huh? Probably. Strong. Strong. Able. Smart. Capable. We don't hold that against you. That's just the way God made you. That's the way you were formed. But it all needs to be dealt with, so that it can be in resurrection and become useful in resurrection for your service to the Lord. Will you take this way? Even though you may not fully understand what you are agreeing to. It's like when you say I do when you're getting married. You don't fully know what's coming. So all you know is you love this person and it's God's will and you're happy about it, but you have no idea what is coming. It's good to have no idea what is coming. I'll just tell you, lots of stuff is coming. But as one man, all of us serving brothers, as one man, we will testify to you. We have no regrets. No regrets about anything. To me, there's what price? What price are you talking about? It's a privilege untold.
Amen.
There's no other way but the way of resurrection.
Amen.
The church is resurrectionly. That is, the church is an organic entity, absolutely in resurrection, a new creation created in Christ's resurrection and by the resurrected Christ. Brother Nee could testify this. God sees the church as a being that can endure death. The gates of Hades are open to the church, but the gates of Hades cannot prevail against her and cannot confine her. Thus, the nature of the church is resurrection. Several years ago, in my fellowship with Brother Jim Miller and with some other saints, I realized the church in San Francisco was going through a devastating time. Two leading brothers went to be with the Lord. A young man taken to be with the Lord. Blow upon blow. And maybe you don't think much about the church in San Francisco. It's one tough city. But I would like to honor the God of resurrection, who has maintained and sustained the church in San Francisco unto this day. The existence of that church in the city of San Francisco is a glory to the Lord.
Amen.
That church will never be defeated.
Amen.
The church in Fullerton was devastated. Anaheim was devastated. But now there's a blossoming golden tree in Fullerton. And Anaheim, dear sweet home Anaheim, resurrection. Praise the Lord. You need to know the church like this. It's the only entity on earth that is in resurrection. The church is the vessel that holds the resurrected Christ. The church is the place where God demonstrates the operation of the might of His strength according to the power which He caused to operate in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Now listen to this. The church is the same as the resurrected Lord, not only in nature, but also in power.
Amen.
We are the body of the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
The church is a new creation. Okay, where we go? Okay, just as God broke through all barriers in the resurrected Christ, He is breaking through all barriers in the church. Therefore, the church should be the same in life and power as the resurrected Christ. We are on the cusp. We are on the edge, I believe, of a breakthrough. That if in 2012 we could begin to touch this, if some of us would pray these points and PSRP these points and say, Lord, work this out. Work this out in all the local churches. Cause us to touch this. The church should be as powerful, as free, and as unfettered by any limitation as the Lord Jesus is. I look forward to this in our prayer meeting. I look forward to this in the Lord's table meeting. I look forward to this in our propagation, in our gospel preaching, in our church planting. The dear brothers in India, they are so one with us. Maybe I overspoke, but I think I might have had the Spirit. I said, brothers and sisters, 500 churches in India.
Amen.
They were thinking maybe 383, 387. 500.
Amen.
1,000 churches in mainland China.
Amen.
2,000 churches in all of Africa.
Amen.
Why not? Let's release the power of Christ's resurrection.
Amen.
All over the earth.
Amen.
Through our prayers.
Amen.
Through our praises.
Amen.
Through our gospel preaching.
Amen.
Through our propagating.
Amen.
May it be so.
Amen.
I want to live to at least see it so.
Amen.
To discover what we are in the resurrected Christ. The might of God's strength not only operated in Christ, but it continually operates in the church as well. The power of the church is the resurrection power of Christ. The Holy Spirit is manifesting the resurrection power of Christ through the church. The church is a depository. That's where something is deposited for storage. That the ascended Christ has been transmitting tremendous power into the church as the storehouse. It's time for us to tap into it.
Amen.
To release it in every way. Hades represents death. The Lord said, I will build my church. The gates of Hades, that's death, will not prevail against it. This indicates the church is in resurrection. Cagayan de Oro, Iligan, they're suffering more than we can possibly know. Maybe some fellowship will be forthcoming. We do not minimize the loss. We're not ashamed of the grief and of the tears and of the suffering we have in common with them. But the whole body will rise up and declare, death will not prevail in the Philippines.
Amen.
Death will not prevail in Iligan and in Cagayan de Oro.
Amen.
Actually, we will pray to release resurrection life that's within the body of Christ to our sister churches. Can we not forget ourselves and pray in this way? Lord, display the power of your resurrection. Hades represents death. The church represents resurrection. As Christ is in resurrection, the church also is in resurrection. Therefore, the church continues its existence in the resurrection of Christ. Listen to these words. We're about to sing them. Oh, what a might! Oh, what a strength! God wrought in Christ to raise Christ from the dead. Far above all at his right hand, or all to us he is the head. All this great power is to the church, that she or all her foes may tread. Let us stand and sing hymn 500, stanza 1, all together the first time. Then the sisters will sing it, the brothers will sing it, and then we'll sing it all together. All this great power is to the church. Stanza 1 only.